This is CliffCentral.com.
Wow, that's quite a
nice
low register.
Someone sent me this irritating screenshot. Game of Thrones Season 8 release date is 558 days away.
Stop it.
Fuckers.
Stop it.
558 days. There only are 365 days in a year. So we're talking about... Oh, that's going to be age. I'm going to be so old by then. Are you kidding me?
Isn't it like almost 2 years? No, three and... Yeah.
I'm going to be as old as the Red Woman.
Well, sure.
That says it all then, doesn't it?
Well, it does give Sia a chance to catch up on where in the show we are.
Yeah.
Oh.
Sia and everyone else.
Yeah. No excuses. All right. It's Thursday morning. Woohoo! We're that much close to the weekend. And it's the last day of August.
Oh.
Yes.
You're already looking springy, yeah, my buddy, with your floral dress.
Very springy.
I'm just in a positive mood.
I'm very happy.
That's excellent news. That means you got some last night.
Sia, how dare you? My body is not dependent on that for her moods.
Oh, really?
How dare you?
Quite debatable.
So how's Josh? And I hope he's listening. Josh, who we had in the other day, sends me this email. Hey, thanks for letting me come in on the show on Monday. It was really fun. I enjoyed it a lot. I'm sorry I forgot to wish you a happy birthday. Secondly, I know you said you don't have any copies of your book, Gareth Clifton. This guy's such a schnorrer, he won't go and buy my book. I must write a book, I must give it to him for free.
I always find that quite interesting when people meet you and that's what they ask.
You get a privilege that so few people get to. You sit with us in the show for 2 hours, Josh. Then you want a free book. So I say, look, I don't have one lying around because I don't keep free books here to give to people. Then he says, what I'd like, the other thing is, can you give me a free bobblehead?
Ooh, free.
And then he wants me to post it to his friend's house at my expense.
Wow.
Josh, you have, like, pushed.
You know, it's amazing. There's some people, like, Josh, you're the most ungrateful fucker. Honestly, I've met in a long time. You don't appreciate what you get. You don't wish me a happy birthday, but you want. You're one of those people in life who's just a taker. I feel sorry for your parents because they're paying for your life in Israel as well. Oh. You're just on the take, dude. Drives me mad. If you worked for me, I would fire you over stuff like this. Oh. I mean it. It's just so ungrateful. Then he sends me the address. Like he just accepts I'm going to send it.
Sure.
Yeah.
You know, there are a lot of people like Josh, and I think it's a case of once they think that they are cool with you, they think it's okay to
leverage,
take your hand, your wrist, your forearm, your entire body.
Ever had a friend like that?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I remember there was this one guy who, we weren't really close friends, but we were friends, and I had a party at my house 1 week and I invited him. So he lets me know on the Wednesday, the party's on the Friday. No, sorry, I sent him a message and said, are you still coming on Friday? He's like, no, I can't make it anymore. I've decided I'm not going out this week.
How?
I was like, you know, it's amazing to me. We were talking yesterday, I interviewed Edith Fenter. We'll play that out sometime in the next few days. People have no manners anymore. Mm. Like, you invite someone to your house. You're offering to cater for them. You're offering to host them. You're offering to show everybody who's there a good time. They don't have the decency to tell you that they are or aren't coming in the first place. So you have to follow up. Then when you follow up, you find out, no, they're not coming. And then almost by way of explaining themselves because they realize that they have no manners, they go, I'm having trouble with my girlfriend. As if you give a shit about what's going on in their personal lives. Like, that's some kind of valued excuse. Like, that makes it okay for you to be rude, basically. Mm-hmm. And you know, you're having trouble with your girlfriend, so now everyone in the world has to understand if you behave like a douchebag. And I just don't know what's happened to people. You know, it's bad enough, like Edith was saying, and I'm not going to spoil the interview, but she was saying, you know, anyone who she invites to her events, and these are glitzy, glamorous events where the creme de la creme of South African society go. These are not the kind of things you get invited to if you're a nobody.
Mm.
She invites people. What they do is they reply yes, and then they weigh up during the course of the week that runs up to the event. They weigh up what other events they've been invited to. And based on which one's the best, they go to that.
Mm.
And so they won't pitch for hers, and then she'll ask them, she'll see them the next day and say, hey, you didn't come to my event, you said you were coming. We catered to you at 250 Rand a head. I would go around if I were her, and I would actually invoice those people for the cost of their seat. Because that's the only way some people will learn, is if you make them pay for it. Mm. It boggles my mind that people have, there's no gentility left in society. And I sound like my parents, but you know, they taught me when I was little, if you're not going to be able to make something, or you think you might not be able to make something, say no. Don't mess those people around.
Mm.
Say to them, I'm sorry, I can't come. And if you miss out, you miss out because you've made a prior arrangement. I will never forget. There was an event once, some very fancy thing, and Archbishop Desmond Tutu was going to be there, and, you know, like all these famous people from overseas, but I'd accepted to go and do a charity event for a little tiny charity that was having a little thing for 15 people, and I was going to make a little speech and, you know, a donation or whatever. I'd accepted the charity invitation before I accepted the other one. So I couldn't accept the other one. Ugh. So you have to go to the charity thing. And the whole time I was there, I was feeling sorry for myself. I'm so, what am I doing here at this charity event? I could be with all these important people.
Yeah.
But I'm so glad I did it. In retrospect, it was absolutely the right thing to do. And you see in the news, there's this girl who got paid like 14 million.
Nisfas.
Well, let's be clear. She wasn't paid 14 million. Nisfas made a mistake and transferred 14 million rand into her account. So instead of thinking about it and being sensible about it, and again, who knows how anyone would behave? 14 million arrives in your account, but you know it's not yours.
It's not yours.
Right?
It does not belong to you.
So instead of being sensible about it and like, asking somebody, hey, sorry, is this your money? She goes and spends 800,000 of it.
Yep.
So guess what? Because nothing is free. Nothing in life is ever free. If someone says to you, here's something for free, you know you're in trouble. Don't take it. If some political party gives you a free t-shirt, what they're really saying is, give us your vote and here's a free t-shirt. Next time we'll give you more. Right? Mm. Nothing's for free. So she spends 800,000 of it. Now they're coming after her for the 800,000.
As they should.
Yeah, but there are some people, Mubs, I feel sorry for this girl because she obviously doesn't know anything about money. Maybe she's, I don't know, maybe she's been poor most of her life and she got the student loan and who knows, but
I don't feel sorry for her because Nesfas, they never pay you money. They loan it to you, number one.
Mm.
Number two, everybody who gets loaned money is expected to pay it back. I do not feel sorry for her.
Question, how did this all come to light in the first place?
Apparently this girl went on a spending spree, which then ended up on social media. Mm. She was posting receipts of the money that she was spending, as I understand it. I stand to be corrected.
Because beg the money.
I was trying to follow the story back and I could see pictures of her like going on holidays.
Sure. So she went on a holiday?
She was flying around. She was hosting parties for her and her friends. She was traveling a lot.
Please she was, find her Instagram. I've got to see this. This sounds.
Oh, she probably has blocked herself now.
Oh, that's
or
great.
She, you know, muted what she's doing.
I don't think she would.
Sibongile Mani is her name.
Mani.
How ironic, I know. M-A-N-I.
Again, I mean, look her up.
Chasnje, living, balling out of control. Greatness is her life.
Yeah, I mean, that was probably her mistake, was taking to social media to then put up pictures of how she was splurging with this money. And then very quickly, she went viral with her pictures.
Woo.
People are such idiots.
There we go. Sometimes you're not ugly, you're just broke. This is a picture of Sibongile we're looking at before and after the 14 million.
She looks worse after.
But now she gets weaves, her outfit choices have changed, and now Twitter has screenshots of everything she's posted. There was a Facebook post of hers, allegedly, as a little screenshot, something along the lines of her ranting about the state of South Africa and how people steal money and corruption is ruining everything. We're like, girl, hold up now.
So she just took the money. She spent $800,000. I'm happy for her she didn't spend more. Because you know what, people, if you put 14 million into someone's account, some people might have spent the whole 14 by now. She got it in June. So July and August, 2 months basically.
Yeah, you see.
Yo, it's no. 800,000 in 2 months.
What would you guys have done?
You know what? Here's the clever thing to do with that is you pay off your student loan first because they can't take that away from you, you know?
They can paid.
If you buy a car or you buy booze and you have receipts or you go for a makeover or whatever, they can claim that money back from you because there's going to be a paper trail. If you get 14 million in your account and you only do one thing, let's say you owe 40 grand on your studies. You pay the 40 grand. That's it. The rest you just leave.
Yeah.
Because that's NSFAS money. It's going to pay a NSFAS thing. They'll go, oh, how do we claim this back from her? You can't take a study loan materially. You can't send the sheriff around to attach a study loan, you know? But anything that she's bought, they're going to go and put a little sticker on and they're going to take away.
They must rip that weave out of her hair, too.
Ooh, oh, 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 oh,
yo!
Because I was thinking about this, and I was like, guys, is there no way?
Why are you so mean, Mabane?
No, Mabane is really ticked off by this.
I'm not mean, but I am ticked off by it. You know?
Is it the spending? The fact that she...
No, it's the fact that it's not your money. Why are you using things, taking things that do not belong to you? And when that 14 million popped into her bank account, she knew it doesn't belong to her. She knew this.
Pay back the money.
If 14 million rand ends up in your bank account tomorrow, Sia, are you going to sit there and go, thank you, Jesus?
Girl,
or are you going to ask questions?
Yes. It is a blessing from above.
No, Sia, you're being devil's advocate.
You're going to know that, okay, stupid. You know what? Something has gone wrong here and I need to start making phone calls and asking questions because I don't know who this money. First, do you know what the first thing that I would think is?
What?
Is some drug dealer trying to move his money through my bank account? That is the first thing that I would think. And I would immediately phone the bank and say, listen, there's 14 million and it's not mine and I don't know how it got there.
And that's a large amount. Despite who you are, if you get that sort of transfer,
but
a bank will notice.
On. I remember not so long ago, Mabale said to me, uh-oh, there's some money that just came into my account. Do you remember?
Yes.
And she was worried. And it wasn't 14 million. It was a lot of money for any of us, but it wasn't 14 million. And she even was panicky about that. She's like, is it mine? And she was going through invoices and she was being really meticulous about it because she was like, I don't know where this came from. I'm kind of want to be excited, but she wasn't. She was holding back until she knew for sure it was hers.
Yes. And then I phoned the bank because then what the bank does after you alert them is they say, okay, well then please stop activity on all your accounts and we'll conduct a forensic investigation. And then they try and figure out why you don't understand what's happening in your account.
Oh.
And then they'll come back to you in a few days and let you know.
So my sister's boyfriend says to me, someone at work with him got paid a huge amount, like more than they should have for that month. So they got like, I don't know, 50 grand more than they should have for that month's salary. So when he alerted them, they froze his accounts and he didn't get paid for another 3 months. And he couldn't use his account. Now that's horrible.
Yeah, no, that's...
So that's where you get punished for doing the right thing.
That's an inconvenience.
Yeah. But I mean, I would not want to owe $800,000. That's like saying, you have a home loan, but you don't have a home.
Do you think she's going to have to pay it all back?
Yeah. Of course she will.
800,000 rands.
Because that money, it's not as if that money is just sitting with some rich guy in Sandhurst. That's money that's got to pay for other students' studies. Mm. It's money that comes out of the fiscus. It's our money, effectively. Mm. And it's got to pay for, well, if it's 14 million, that could be 100, 200, 300 students. Maybe even more that will need to be paid for at various institutions of higher learning this year.
Oh, honey.
Yeah. I mean, what a story, though. Because we all have the fantasy that we'll wake up one morning and there'll just be this huge amount of money in the account, you know? Don't pretend you haven't gone to sleep at night going, please, tomorrow, just let it be the day.
Yo, and it happened for her.
Yeah, but don't. It's not like Mabali says, not yours.
Yo, I've thought about what I'd do the entire day yesterday.
What would you do?
So I have a plan which I think is pretty foolproof, right? So you have this NASFIS account that always has this 1.4. Well, it should be 1,400 rand. No, it should be 1,400 rand, yeah. Right? But it was a mistake where 14 came. I would then open an investment account, which seems innocent and just seems that 1,400 rand every month will go into this investment account. And I was waiting to register for school next year. So it's just a simple debit order, but I'll make sure that the debit order takes all of the money each month and puts it into the investments. So technically I didn't know that 14 million came into my account. It was just a simple debit order, but then I only take out the money in Jan of next year. Boom. I'm not to be blamed. It was a debit order, and I did not know. Yo, then 2018, guys. Delete my number. I'll be in Monaco.
Yeah, we were saying yesterday how if any of us had to suddenly get really rich overnight, Sia would be the worst because...
Oh, for sure.
He would never talk to us again.
Yeah, we wouldn't be good enough for him anymore.
He would tell us to delete his number in a message that he would send and then block us.
Mm. Oh, no, my second assistant would send, me.
Right.
We won't talk
And that
anymore.
Would be the end of our... relationship with Sia. Sia would be a mean, nasty, rich person. All right, it's time for us to get into some news and the five things you need to know to start your day today. Colcacchio Pizzeria has something for everybody, whether you're a meat lover, a vegetarian, or simply someone with a taste for the sweeter things in life. They guarantee that they have the dish that will satisfy your craving. That's Colcacchio Pizzeria. There's one near you. Mubs, what do you have for us?
Well, seeing as how we're talking about this girl, legal action is now going to be taken against her. She is a student from Walter Sisulu University, and she failed to disclose the deposit mistake that was made, and that is part of the reason why legal action is now going to be taken against her. Funding administrative company IntelliMali says that instead of reporting the error, the young woman helped herself to cash and managed to spend close to a million rand since June. The mistake was revealed when a receipt and photos of her surfaced on social media and then very quickly went viral.
So she posted the photo of the receipt. That's how all of
she
this came.
She incriminated herself.
Yeah. Yes. That is now why she is going to have to deal with some other kind of court action.
You know, isn't that interesting? Like what it tells you about the wiring of her brain, and I bet you she's not the only one, is that getting social media kudos is more important to her than having the 14 million. Because she was willing to risk, and she did, being outed for this money not being where it was meant to be in order to show her friends how rich she was. In other words, her friend's opinion means more than the money to her. Isn't that interesting?
Jeez.
It is very interesting, actually.
Yo.
Like, why can't you just be happy with your money quietly behind the scenes?
I know you.
Because as soon as you start attracting attention, it's the wrong kind of attention as well.
From SARS. I know you. If Mabali suddenly hit like a major windfall and she got 12 mil in her account, she wouldn't say anything.
Nope. Not a damn thing.
You'd suddenly, she'd come in fur coats in the winter. And you'd be like, wow, Mubs must really have other jobs that are paying her well.
Yes.
But she would not let on that she was suddenly a millionaire. Mm. It wouldn't happen. She'd maybe arrive in a fancy car or, you know, some morning she'd phone.
I don't even think she'd be that flashy.
Some morning she'd phone and say, I'm not coming in today, guys. I got so much to do.
Meanwhile, she's like in Barbados with Rihanna.
But she wouldn't be posting pictures on Instagram about it.
Well, the problem is once everyone knows that you are moneyed.
They all come.
They all come without fail. You don't need that kind of stress in your life. All right. Remember I was telling you about the bird flu case that broke out in Mpumalanga and the Western Cape?
I'll be honest, this bird flu is so boring. I mean, we can't get it from the chickens.
Yeah, look, the Institute for Communicable Diseases keeps insisting that we can't get the virus.
No.
But the spread of the bird flu has now gone to 3 provinces affected. You can add Gauteng onto that list. And to date, 60 workers who had been exposed to the infected birds have been tested, and none of them came back with positive results, which is, again, another reassurance that it is okay. Even though the birds are suffering, you can still keep munching away on your chicken wings.
By the way,
your chicken patty for your burger.
That's good news. Just carry on. Don't worry about it, people.
By the way.
Yeah, the minister, have you seen what the Minister of Agriculture looks like? Just look him up.
Okay.
Yes, he was on TV last night. I went, huh!
Oh!
Just away from the screen. Very unattractive looking human being, that.
Woo. Minister of Forestries, Agriculture, and...
Have you had a look at him?
Who is he? Mr. Senzi Zokwana.
That's him.
Senzeni Zokwana.
Take a look.
And then a bit of court activity for the director of the Independent.
Ooh, hey, yo. Ooh, Senzi.
See what I mean?
Oh, Senzi.
If that guy walked out of a dark corner and went boo, you'd dribble a little bit of pee down your leg.
You don't even have to say boo.
He looks hard. Yeah, okay.
Who's that X? Is it part of the, one of the X-Men dudes who's all rock?
He looks like him.
Mm.
It's a good comparison. Okay. Sorry, Mubs, we interrupted.
As you were.
The director of IPID, right, Robert McBride, had a bit of court activity yesterday. Mm. He appeared in the Pretoria Magistrates Court on a charge related to contravention of the Children's Act. An acquaintance has accused McBride of assaulting a minor, a claim that he says is exaggerated. The magistrate granted him 10,000 rand bail yesterday, and IPID said in a statement that McBride would like the trial to start as soon as possible so that he can clear his name. Now, according to the DA, they said in a statement that they have called on him to do the right thing, which is to volunteer for special leave. While McBride is innocent until proven guilty, this is now the DA in their statement, he should recuse himself from his position of leadership pending the outcome of the case against him, given the seriousness of the charge that he is facing. And then Beyonce is heralded or is being heralded for her good deeds, if you will. She has been described as somebody from being a real blessing by a church pastor of hers, Rudy Rasmus. The reason for all of this praise is because the 35-year-old singer, through her charity, Be Good, is really stepping up and assisting with relief efforts to help as many people as possible who have suffered in the natural disaster in Houston. And that is because the city that she hails from is the very one that has been ravaged by the floods. So, you know, Beyonce doing her thing there, her celebrity thing, her good nature thing as well, stepping up through her charity, teaming up with a whole bunch of people to make sure that supplies are being gathered to help those who are in need.
A lot of people are stepping up.
Good for Beyonce. That's nice to see. As I said yesterday, this Houston thing has taught us one thing, is that all those supposed divisions in America disappear when there's a crisis that's big enough for people to just start helping each other and show their humanity. There's a great picture of a guy carrying a woman, carrying a baby.
Yes, I saw that.
And I just thought, you know what? That's beautiful. It makes me happy because it shows you that despite all the things that you read in the news and all the horrible things that people say about each other on Twitter and how, you know, women can't be men are only full of toxic masculinity, and women should be able to support themselves and help themselves, and children should be able to decide at the age of 7 whether they want a new gender reassignment surgery. All of that stuff kind of disappears out of the noise, and we realize suddenly, actually, we all do need each other, and we're all in the same boat, and we should help each other when we can. And I love that Beyonce is getting involved. It is her home city. But I'm really annoyed that she's only 35.
Oh.
And she's done so well in
her
life.
That's a good turn.
Yeah, no, fair enough.
I'm
good
really
point.
Annoyed. She's only 35, and she's done such an incredible amount in her life, and I'm such a failure by comparison.
No.
Well, listen, we all are by comparison. Yeah.
So is it that Robert McBride in the previous story, is it that he assaulted his daughter?
Yeah, because when I saw the news reports, I was watching the news last night, and they were just talking about a family member. Mm. I don't know specifically whom they said it was.
No, that's what people are saying. Anyway, I mean, couldn't he have waited until after Women's Month? There's been enough horrible things done to women in this month. Must we add another one to the list? Really?
Yeah.
Listen to this. Putti, who listens to us, predicted this 2 years ago. It's in his memories on Facebook, so he can prove it. You know, that's the way you prove that you have Nostradamus qualities. This is what Putti said 2 years ago, August 24th, 2015. Nisfas will make a mistake and pay millions into a moronic girl's account, and she will do nothing valuable about it except try to impress web society and land in trouble. 14 million to be exact. I suspect the world will know about it sometime towards the end of August 2017. Now, do you think Putti made that up?
No, guys.
How's that possible?
Putti,
Otherwise, Putti, if you can do that, you better get in the studio. We need to hear your predictions.
Because my people would say, yeah, lawyer, you're bewitching us now.
Yeah, and sure. Putti, maybe, you know, you and I should have a conversation about what's next for the next 5 years in my life. But wait a minute, is that true, or can that be like some other kind of tech manipulation where somebody quickly conjures up post and makes it look as if it was.
Right. When you're confronted with a situation like this, you can do one of two things. You can either believe exactly what you read and go, wow, the guy has predictive powers and he can read things into the natural order the rest of us can't. He has superpowers, in other words, or that it's possible to fudge the system technically. Which is more likely?
Let's see. I'm trying to stalk him now on Facebook.
Uh-oh. There's going to be an investigative journalist after you soon, Putti. You better just own up and say that your post was bullshit.
Well, 20 hours ago, he did post something about Nisfas.
Uh-huh.
No, but I don't see the memory. Okay, that's fine. Come and have a chat with us. Mzansi style, Putti.
Yeah, come anyway.
Mzansi style.
It'll be fun. Maybe you have some predictions. All right. Okay, we got Anthea on the line. We're going to go to her and find out what's going on with your money. We've got Justice Malala coming up in a short while with the Burning Platform, which is powered by Nando's. Nando's turns 30 years old in the month of September. Isn't that exciting?
Mm. Yeah.
They've got this big celebration going on, and I'll tell you about what they're going to launch shortly to celebrate as part of the celebrations. So all of that and more on the way. But let's cross to Anthea now and see what's going on with your money. It's the Money Shot every morning at about this time. So, here she is with her favorite song.
She was hurt for the money. So hurt for it, honey. She was hurt for the money, so you better treat her right.
Right. Good morning, Anthea.
Good morning, Gareth.
So, what's happening on the markets?
Yeah, not such great news today, I'm afraid. Our positive run seems to have come to an end. The JC was down for the third day in a row yesterday. The rand's relatively strong, but it did weaken a little bit yesterday, more on the back of a stronger dollar. The U.S. revised their GDP growth number, this is the first quarter number, from 2.6 to 3%. So that's the more accurate number. I mean, so it really is looking good for them. Economists are predicting, though, that Hurricane Harvey will shave off 0.2% of their third quarter GDP growth number. So I'm not sure what the expectations are, actually. I think it's probably just over 2%, maybe 2.3 or somewhere around there. But imagine that happened to us. That would just basically halve our GDP growth. Not be good.
No, not at all.
And then Telkom put out a strange cautionary yesterday. Oh, I suppose they have to almost. They said that government are going to offload their 39.3% stake, which is valued at 13 billion rand, and that it could have a negative impact in the share, which is pretty obvious. You know, if you've got such a large amount being sold on the JSE, then obviously the share price will go under pressure. So obviously this was to fund the SAA shortfall. And then it was a little bit confusing for all of, I don't know, a minute or so, because the Government Employee Pension Fund put out a statement categorically saying that they had not been approached by National Treasury to sell their stake. And I thought, well, that's a bit odd, because I thought the government stake would have been held through the Government Employee Pension Fund. But apparently the government actually holds a stake in Telkom independently of the Employee Pension Fund. So I think that's quite an interesting thing to clarify. And then on a macro level, we had private sector credit extension numbers yesterday. So basically loans being granted to businesses and individuals. It decelerated by 5.7% year on year from 6.1%. We were expecting it to come off a bit. Household credit, pretty lackluster. It's now around 3.3%. Corporate at 7.4%, which is the lowest it's been since December 2013. And I think, so one of the things that, the thing about this that is not good is that consumers and businesses are not spending. So the economy is not being stimulated. Mm-hmm. The good thing, though, is that since, well, about 9 years now, household debt-to-income ratio has fallen from 88% to 73%. So really, just households deleveraging, not taking on so much debt, which I think is a good thing, actually. So consumers really are learning. I mean, I guess what this does do as well is it kind of gives Saab more ammunition to cut rates. You know, just they really need to. I mean, it's not their job to, but it's nice if they could stimulate the economy. And get people to start spending again, spend our way out of a recession, basically.
Okay.
Which is a real thing, by the way.
Spend your way out of a recession.
Absolutely. That's what the U.S. is doing. So in the U.S., they've got completely the opposite to what we've got. They've got GDP growth, which is much higher than expected, and they've got consumer spending and businesses spending. So consumer confidence, business confidence, pretty much at all-time highs compared to us, where we're at all-time lows.
Okay. we don't have a lot of options, in other words. Why is it that our economy has underperformed in every sector and in every way when you compare us with, let's say, the world economy since 2008, we've underperformed. When you compare us to other developing economies, we've underperformed. When you compare us to the other BRICS nations, we underperform. We are so bad at managing this economy at the moment that it's no wonder people aren't investing. It's no wonder that our GDP is sliding backwards. And it's no wonder we're stagnating.
I mean, Gareth, where do I even start? So you have a business. Would you spend more money on your business if you think that the government is not helping you, that they're stealing your tax money, that they're not building infrastructure for people to get to your business?
No, you wouldn't. It's worse than that, Anthea. If I could have gone back 3 years now, I wouldn't have registered this company in this country. I would have operated from here, but I wouldn't have done it in this country from a legal tax and compliance point of view. It's just not a healthy environment for business.
That's right. They're doing nothing to help your business.
Nothing.
And I mean, we're using you as an example, but think about this on a large scale. I read somewhere that businesses are sitting, like businesses on the listed businesses in the JSE, are sitting on 1.4 trillion rand in cash, which they're not deploying to grow their businesses. It's because they're nervous. They don't know what's going to happen next. So there's this uncertainty around whether or not their businesses, think about the mining charter as an example. So if you were a miner and you were sitting, and in fact, Sibanye Gold is a perfect example. He reported, Neil Froneman reported results yesterday. And in fact, he said that he does not want to buy any more businesses in South Africa because of the uncertainty caused by the government's mining charter. There we go. That's what it is.
Well, there we are. And guess what that means for SARS? Less income. Means absolute. Less taxable income, not just from Neil Frohneman personally, but from all of his businesses in terms of company tax. It means they'll be employing less people here. And everybody keeps talking about how unemployment is our problem, right? It isn't. Unemployment is the symptom.
Correct.
If you wanted to solve unemployment, Sia, you could hire 400 people with teaspoons to dig a swimming pool, or you could hire 3 people with shovels. Which is the more efficient? And which one is dealing with the problem that you have to solve with, well, making a swimming pool?
What an apt analogy here. But of course, then you'd go for the 3 people with the shovels. Right.
I was at a lunch yesterday, and on my way into the building, there were 5 people begging in that street. 5. Mm. This is not great as a signal for, you know, and this is a smart place. And you might have foreigners there who might have money, who might want to invest. And I'm not saying there aren't beggars all over the world. But 5 in the same street, not a good sign.
So, Gareth, I don't mean to pick on Neil Frohneman and Sibanye-Stillwater, but you know he recently bought Stillwater in the U.S., which is a platinum mine, spent $2.2 billion doing that. Now, imagine if Neil Frohneman had decided South Africa was the right place to invest and that he didn't have to worry about mining charter and political uncertainty. $2.2 billion worth of investment would go a long way to helping unemployment and GDP growth in this country.
Because the mining sector picks up so many jobs, right?
Indeed.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, we can't tell Neil Frohneman what to do with his money. And frankly, I wouldn't be buying platinum mines if I were him.
Neither would I, but that was, you know, his decision. Anyway. And then Aspen also put out a trading statement yesterday. You know, they started out as the generic drugs maker. It's a great South African story, actually. They're now the largest anesthetics business in the world. They guided to normalized headline earnings per share up between 13 and 18%. Headline earnings hugely big move up, 43 to 48% increase, but that's because they're coming off a lower base. Last year, they have this Venezuelan business, which they wrote down completely. You know, they'd spent 2 years trying to get their money out, trying to get it going, and I mean, there's an economy in trouble. So they completely wrote it down last year, and this year they're seeing a little bit of green shoots. So I guess that's what's really upping the ante for them this year. I mean, I think for Aspen, it's been a share that's really languished. You know, every once in a while we do asset managers get invited to present their top pick for the year. And Aspen was mine last year, November, kind of big conference we go to. And it really hasn't performed for me. And it's because of this kind of just one, they had all these fines in Europe. In fact, I think they settled their 5 billion euro fine in Italy, but they've got another one still on the table. And then this Venezuelan business. But I think they're looking, I know, because they keep telling us that they're looking to go into the Chinese infant milk formula business. The Chinese market is worth $50 billion per annum. And China owns 46% of that. I think the problem that I have with Aspen doing that and why I can't put it into my numbers, though, is because it's kind of unproven. You know, they're growing into a new market. They haven't talked about brand. We don't know how they're going to reposition themselves. So Aspen's now in a 16 times forward PE, which is pretty cheap. Cheap for the reasons I've mentioned, you know, the fine, the Venezuelan business, that they just aren't growing the way they should be, though.
Okay.
But I do still like the share.
All right. Cool. That's enough for us to chew on this morning, and I think there'll probably be more tomorrow, but let's hope there's some good news as well.
I hope so. Right. Thanks, Gareth.
Thanks. There we go. Anthea Gardner and a look at the money. It's over to Sia now for Said by Sia, our daily dose of inspiration and wisdom and hopefully upliftment. What do you got for us today?
Well, it's something that we've already touched on this morning on the show, Gareth. You know, exactly what is happening in Houston right now with all of the floods, you know, with Tropical Storm Harvey. It really is, as much as Beyonce is perfection and Kevin Hart is donating as well, there's so many ordinary people who are just stepping up and making a difference where they can, with what they have, where they are. power, which was one of my favorite Theodore Roosevelt quotes. So here are a few stories of just ordinary citizens who are making a difference.
I don't have any Theodore Roosevelt quotes. You make me feel so inadequate. And that's your favorite? So how, you could have 10.
Excuse me as I sit on my throne and I look down on you all. But here, thank you. Here are a few moments from Houston that are really absolutely incredible in my book. So first and foremost, there's a woman who just happens to have a boat. And since the entire city is flooded, she has taken a boat and is literally just like moving around looking for people to help. If there's someone in need, she like brings them on to her boat, helps them out however she could. So I think like it's so awesome. She's literally just like boating around looking for people
to
help.
That's great.
You know, there's a furniture store owner named Jim, who's known as Mattress Mac, who opened his two stores in the city of Houston to anyone who needs a place to sleep. So he's not even caring about making a profit anymore or how he can sell his stock at a later stage. But for right now, with people in need, he's opened up his stores and he's saying, you know what, come in if you need a place to stay.
Wow.
There's a young ICU nurse. Her name is Chelsea Black. And so far, she's been working a record-breaking and straight 72 hours looking for people as well who also need help within Houston. So good on her as well. She's been working straight through her weekend. And we actually found out about her through Twitter. Her sister, Amaya Fields, is the one who actually gave a little shout out as well. A cool guy who is in one of the evacuation centers at the Houston Convention Center has dressed up as Spider-Man to entertain some of the kids who are now just like crammed up in the space, have nothing to do the entire way. So he thought, ugh, why not? Let's help the kids out with all of this. Another person who's been providing some sort of entertainment as well is a lady by the name of Victoria White, who is actually an admission counselor by day, but right now she's gone into one of the other evacuation centers and she's now been singing gospel songs the entire way through. Just, you know, anyone who's there who's going through obviously such a tough time, she's like, okay, at least I can do this. Let me try to hopefully somehow inspire you through my singing. So one video of Victoria has been viewed more than 8 million times alone on Facebook, which is absolutely awesome. Mm-hmm. And a dad and son duo have been rescuing horses and cattle trapped in the floodwaters as well. And then lastly, which is absolutely even cuter than everything and trumps everything, is a 5-year-old by the name of Jet, who's a Houston native, but now actually lives in Philadelphia. And he started a lemonade and sweet tea stand. And through all of this, the money's going to the victim relief in Houston, Texas. So you see, wherever you are, whatever you're doing, I'm sure you can do something to aid in the, you know, devastation that's currently happening in Houston.
That's awesome. That's cool. Yeah. See, there are good people in the world. They're not just schmucks stealing from the poor.
Yeah.
I also love the, you know, the variety of the different ways in which people are helping. I mean, you have a woman getting onto her boat. You have a nurse that's been in a 72-hour shift. And then you have Spider-Man.
Like, no.
It's just every little bit counts.
And everybody does what they can.
Yeah.
Even Pastor Manning, our favorite pastor from New York, has got something. So listen to this.
You're going to have a flame coming out of your butthole. If you thought that AIDS was bad, you ain't seen nothing yet. Until you see the flaming butthole, your butthole will be flaming and you will not be able to sit down until you have a flame coming out of your butthole, flame coming out of your butt. That man pulls that penis out of you, a flame is going to come out and nobody will ever stick a penis in your butthole again because it will be on fire. We'll have a flame coming out of that butt. You women have a flame coming out of your vagina. You're going to have a flame shooting out of your vagina. And amen.
Well, I mean, we cut it down to the most interesting parts, but there we are.
You know what, Pastor Manning, it's fine.
And amen, he said.
You got to love Pastor Manning,
amen,
huh?
Amen, he said.
Amen. All right. Well, it's 7 o'clock. Justice Malala and the Burning Platform is coming up next. Are you ready for it?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what else is coming up?
What else is coming up?
Hey. Summertime. Hey. Yeah, it's just around the corner because tomorrow's spring day. We're allowed to get excited, right?
Oh, yeah.
Summertime.
This is CliffCentral.com.